What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode number 7 of Arc Junkies. I am your host, Jimmy McKnight. It is Monday, October 9th, 2017. The road to FabTech continues. We're talking to Huddington Fusion about the latest in purging technology and what they have planned for FabTech Expo and why you need to be at their booth at FabTech Expo this year at McCormick Place, November 6th through 9th in Chicago. Also, we're going to be talking to the founder of Voodoo Choppers and the host of A Craftsman's Legacy on PBS, Mr. Eric Gorgeous, is in studio. We've got some iTunes reviews to get to, but first, I really want to bring it down a little bit, and I got a confession to make. You know, I record these shows on Sundays. I record them Sunday mornings. That way they're ready to go and, you know, available for download Monday morning for everybody. And it gives my Sunday, you know, my Sunday is free to spend with my family once I get this knocked out first thing in the morning. Outside of that, when I woke up Monday morning, I was awakened to the news, just like everybody else across the nation was, of the tragic events that happened in the Las Vegas shooting. It was also brought to my attention from friends of the show, Southern Colorado Hats, that there was a member of the Plumber and Pipefitters Union, Local 364, out of Colton, California, named Austin Davis. He was 29 years old, and he was among one of the victims who was killed in the Las Vegas shootout. There has been a GoFundMe page set up for him with a $10,000 goal that has already reached $14,140. Southern Colorado Hats has donated 100 hats to the Union Hall to sell, and all of the proceeds from those hats go directly to Austin Davis's family. And also, if you go to southerncoloradohats.com right now, you can get a hat that will go directly, all of the proceeds will go directly to Austin's family. You just go to the website, southerncoloradohats.com, search keyword Austin, and you can order a hat from them, and the proceeds will go directly to Austin Davis's family. I mean, the money is to help out with medical expenses, memorial costs, travel costs, you know, things of that sort. So something that we can do to help out a brother, help out a brother's family. And, you know, the wake of this absolutely senseless tragedy. All right, moving on. We're traveling all the way across the pond to the UK to speak with Ron Sewell, a representative of Huddington Fusion, the leader in purging technology for the welding industry. And we're going to talk about what they have at their booth this year at FabTech and why you need to be there. Hey, Ron, that's much better. How are you, sir?
I'm fine. Yes, I'm fine. Thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for calling. I do appreciate it, especially all the way from across the pond like you are in the UK.
No, that's all right. I'm really glad to have the opportunity to talk to you.
Hey, absolutely, man. I mean, as you know, FabTech is right around the corner. We are definitely closing in on it. And the reason I wanted to talk to you guys is because you are really leading the way with purging technology, especially with all of the stuff that you offer. And I wanted to talk to you about that because I'm very excited to see your booth at this year's FabTech. And I'm wondering what it is that you guys are bringing to this year's FabTech to really show what Huddington Fusion is really all about.
Well, what we decided to do this year is because additive manufacturing is such a hot subject.
Right.
We're going to be putting one of our very large see-through flexible enclosures right at the front of the stand with a multiple axis robot inside it to replicate a WAAM system. That's wire plus arc additive manufacturing.
So you're going to have that right in front?
Yes, we are.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right at the front of our stand. And it's really good because people up until we developed these enclosures have had to buy fabricated metal enclosures costing hundreds of thousands of pounds. Mm-hmm. And these fabricated flexible enclosures are less than £10,000. So, it's a no-go deal for having to spend all that money anymore.
With the way that additive manufacturing is heading, you know, in the coming years here, where do you think that being in the leading edge of this technology really puts your company? I mean, how do you stay ahead of the game? Is what I'm saying with additive manufacturing.
Well, the additive manufacturing business itself is changing within itself very quickly, and there's very little way that we can actually forecast which way it's going. We've manufactured our flexible enclosures for the industry, although we really don't know where it's going to lead to, because there are so many different ways of doing additive manufacturing. People can do it, as you know, up in outer space in a spaceship, but you know, they can use a resin powder inside a factory, or they're even making shoes with additive manufacturing techniques now. So you just put your foot in a machine, and it takes all of your shoe size and measurements and foot deviations, and you can have an additive manufactured shoe. So it's such a large business. But as regards welding goes, as long as people want to be able to use titanium fabrications, then our flexible enclosures should be there along with our purging monitors to give the people an argon enclosure that they can afford.
You know, the thing about the thing that really strikes me about this kind of stuff is we're almost get to that point where if you're a Star Trek fan, when they asked, you know, computer, make me this, and it would just replicate whatever it was that they asked for. You know, we're at the beginning stages of that with this additive manufacturing stuff.
Yeah, and I think we really are. Yeah.
We are.
We
man.
Really are.
So, I mean,
yeah,
how do you go into, you know, the developments of your products to adhere to an industry like additive manufacturing that is developing so much?
Our products are basically designed for people that want to have color-free welds, zero-color welds.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, it's mostly the people that are welding stainless steels and titanium, zirconium, and any other reactive metals. So the people that want to have a weld like that, to save themselves the time of cleaning, inspection, cutout, reweld, and all that kind of added cost that goes onto a weld, then if they look at purging properly from the beginning, whatever it is they're doing, then they'll find one of our products there to serve them. And we grow as the market determines, really, because we're going around seeing people now who are still stuffing bits of foam up the end of a pipe or granny's old T-shirt. And they think that pushing that inside a pipe for an argon barrier is going to help them make a clean weld on the inside of a pipe. Well, it just doesn't do that. You really have to have the proper products. And so we're constantly on the lookout for new materials with low vapor pressure that we can use with our products, new types of valving devices and pressure control devices that will go with our products, so that the customer doesn't have anything to worry about. He'll just stick one of our products into a welding area and he'll get zero color welds.
You know, I work in the tubing industry, and I totally understand what you're saying, because, you know, until I saw your product, I mean, you know, we're going at it in the most archaic way possible. You know, you just taping the end and shoving the, you know, your hose in the one end and taping it off and putting some vent holes in it and just kind of welding and hoping for the best, you know, trying to create your own atmosphere inside there. And your product, your product really just takes it to that next level with, you know, with the inflatable seal and the purge eye and being able to monitor it down to the parts per million. It really is. It's absolutely amazing what your product can do versus how people are just sort of getting by purging.
We came up against a guy last week or in the last week or so. He was purging in his way, and he was taking 24 hours to purge a large pipe. And we did it in 10 minutes for him, and the guy went white. He went absolutely white to think of the money he's been wasting on argon. going into his pocket for 24 hours.
Yeah, it's not cheap, and it's just getting let out, right, completely without the proper stuff. And, you know, what you guys really did is developed a system, you know, that really just takes it to that next level to ensure 100% zero-color welds on the inside. And it's absolutely beautiful what you guys do. And I can't wait to see what you guys have at this year's FabTech Expo. Do you know where your booth is located this year?
Yeah, we're on booth B37049.
B37049.
B for Bravo, 37049. Now, we are working, of course, as we always do, with our partners in the United States, which is Cobb Industries, Inc.
Okay.
We tied up with them, I don't know, maybe 25 years ago now, and we have a very lovely partnership with them. And they're our best single customer as our supplier into the United States.
Oh, that's great.
So, we have a really close relationship. They put out the stand every time, and it's a really big, high-quality stand. They don't do cheap. And we bring the people over from the UK, and obviously there's a lot of expenses to go with traveling and hotels and all that kind of stuff, and just shipping the equipment across.
Oh yeah, so logistics are expensive.
We do all that stuff together, and we look after our end of it. They look after their end of it, and I must say we have a really lovely partnership. They're lovely people.
You know, that's great when you can find somebody that really sees eye to eye with you, and you know, you can get the most accomplished that way, especially when you have a partner like that. So that's fantastic. You guys have created such a great relationship.
We're also lucky there that they have a scientific understanding of gas flow and gas pressure, and they're able to talk to customers in a scientific way. And because we're scientists and metallurgists at Huntington Fusion, we've designed all of the products with a good knowledge of science and metallurgy and welding, of course. And we're still about the only people in the field that specialize only in weld purging. Anybody else supplying stuff, I must say, copying is the best form of flattery as far as we're concerned.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no doubt you guys are leading the way, and it shows that you have the knowledge in the design of the product. That's 100% apparent just by looking at it. It's 100% apparent. I personally have not had the opportunity to use it yet, but just by seeing some of the demos online, in particular by Superior Welding, plus the ones you guys have put out yourself, just showing how they actually, how the coverage actually works. You know, the stuff is there, man. It is. It's absolutely there. Yeah. It's leading the way.
We put out one recently, as you probably may have noticed, on trailing shields. And we did a weld on a tube with a trailing shield, and we videoed the whole thing, put it out there on YouTube. We've had more views of that one, but just that one little video clip, that I think of all the other video clips put together.
That's great. It's
brought so many comments from guys that really do the work.
Yeah,
and they know what they're seeing, and they think, well, this is it, to make a weld with no color, and so we can do it on the inside and on the outside,
and it looks exactly the same. That's the best part. On the inside, as it does on the outside. I will. I'm going to find a link to that video, and I'm going to post it on our Facebook page. And Ron, I want to thank you so very, very much for taking the time and calling all the way from the UK. This is the second time I've had to talk somebody overseas. My first guest was Marcus from Weldporn over in Australia, and now I'm talking to you in the UK. So we're getting international with this show.
That's great. Yeah. Well, there's a lot more to that story, but I'll leave that for another time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Are you going to? Will you personally be at FabTech this year?
I won't be, unfortunately. I'm a little bit too long in the tooth, really, to be traveling around too much.
I understand.
I've got a wonderful team of people here in Huntington that look after the company very, very well indeed, and they work their socks off. We're so lucky, you know, to have a good team. That's so important in business.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ron, thank you again so very much. And I absolutely look forward to having you back on the show. It was a lot of fun to talk to you. You are a wealth of knowledge, and you guys really are. You're leading the way in the purging industry. And thank you for what you're doing. And we are going to be supporting you 100%.
Thank you for talking to me and for chatting and allowing me to talk a little bit. And hopefully one day I might get to meet up with you.
Absolutely. We'll make it a goal.
Okay.
All right, Ron.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, make sure you check out the Huntington Fusion booth this year at FabTech 2017, November 6th through 9th at McCormick Place in Chicago. Moving on, I said I had some iTunes reviews. Well, I got some iTunes reviews. Like I said, if you leave iTunes reviews, it really helps the show. It helps our ranking on iTunes and helps the show reach more people. So to show my appreciation, I'm going to read some of them for you. The first one is from Good Life Weld, titled Listen Every Week. It's a 5-star. Aw, thanks. This podcast is great. My whole shop listens every week. The whole shop. Thank you. Tell everybody in the shop, Weld hard. The next one is great interviews from M-E-M-I-M-I-M-I. It's another 5-star. Again, thank you very much for the 5 stars. Thanks for the show. Jimmy is awesome. Aw, thank you. Every show I am learning. The next one is titled A Good Listen from the Neff Family. Another 5-star. Guys, thank you so much. It's a man of many words, simply titled Love It. The next one is titled Good Stuff. This comes directly from JK Welding Fab with a 5-star. Says, I listen every week. The subject matter is inspiring and fun. Great job with a thumbs up. Everybody, thank you so very much for your iTunes reviews. They're very much appreciated. Again, keep them coming. Your iTunes reviews helps our ranking, helps keep this show alive, and helps it reach more people. Coming up next, the founder of Voodoo Choppers and the host of A Craftsman's Legacy on PBS, Mr. Eric Gorgeous.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, anytime. For the listeners that may not be familiar with A Craftsman's Legacy, let's walk through that a little bit. Congratulations on your 4th season.
Thank you.
That's actually pretty awesome, man. I mean, it takes a lot for 4 seasons, so that's pretty good.
Knock on wood,
exactly. So let's talk a little bit about what is A Craftsman's Legacy.
Sure, yeah. It's like the best job in the world, you know? I travel around the U.S. and work with all kinds of different craftsmen. People that work with wood and metal and glass and textiles and all kinds of stuff.
And so now you're kind of diving into their mind for these half-hour episodes and kind of learning their trade.
Yeah, yeah, which is awesome because I'm a hands-on guy.
And what kind of trades have you gone? Because what I've seen from the first episode coming from season 4 looks like you're going to be making a sword.
Yeah.
And then I've seen some past episodes look like you were making chocolate. So, I mean, this seems like a very diverse, you know, type of show.
It really is, because it's not a show that is specific to one industry or one medium. You know, it covers everything. It's just – it's stories about people that are working with their hands, mm-hmm. either continuing a craft that's hundreds, thousands of years old, or, you know, they're working on something that maybe is – you know, discovered within the last 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not really about like, oh, we're going to cover just woodworkers or metal workers or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So we've done shows on chocolatiers and soap making and quilting and, you know, weaving and, you know, all kinds of cool stuff like that, you know?
The cool thing that really attracted me to this and the story is the fact that you actually do get to travel around. Like going on the road, it's almost like you get to go on tour and meet these people, you know, week after week. And that's got to be the coolest thing, really.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm not going to lie to you.
So, I mean, how did all this start? Because, I mean, you know, you were an IT guy. You kind of, you know, put all that behind you and went into, you know, metal shaping and welding and started Voodoo Choppers.
Yep.
And then where did it happen from Voodoo Choppers to the show?
Well, Voodoo is still open. I'm still there every day.
Right on. Beautiful bikes, by the way. Absolutely beautiful bikes.
Thank you very much. I absolutely love what I do.
Mm-hmm. We're going to touch back on that too, so don't worry.
I live a blessed life. I tell people that all the time. But, you know, while while I was building bikes and I was traveling around and doing a lot of bike rallies and whatnot, I came up with an idea for a show to, you know, sort of honor craftsmen and, mm-hmm. And craftsmanship. And it took me about 6 years to get from that point of, you know, inception to actually having it air. Mm-hmm. It was a long journey, you know, and a lot of people were involved. A lot of different people were involved because I'm not a TV guy.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can't do it by yourself. These take production teams, absolutely, yeah.
You know, so, but it was great, you know. I mean, so many people have helped me over the years and continue to help me today. It's just amazing.
So now going from, you know, kind of being the shop guy to having to be on camera now and doing interviews, did you find that was kind of like a little bit of a tricky learning curve for you to kind of go from the guy that's usually behind the scenes to being in front of the camera?
Yeah, you know, I don't know what I'm doing, you know, but I think that that level of unknown, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't really bother me. Like I make mistakes all the time. I goof up all the time. I screw things up constantly.
Yeah, every day, man. I do too.
You know, I don't worry about it. You know yeah. what I mean? It's like how you become better at things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had plenty of people tell me I couldn't do it. I had a ton of people tell me, you can't host a TV show. You don't have what it takes. But nobody could really define what that is.
Right. You just yeah. don't have it. I don't know what it is, but you don't have it.
Pretty much so, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was fun. That's always nice to hear.
No, I dude, I get it. Trust me. When I came up with the idea for doing a welding podcast, I was met with the same. Like, why would you talk about something that's a visual medium? Well, we put a little bit of a twist on it. That's how we do it. You know, yeah. It's not exactly that, but it's along those lines.
It works.
It does. You know? So, well, talking about welding, let's get into your history of welding. Where did that all kind of start for you when you kind of figured out that, you know, metalwork was where you wanted to be?
So, you know, I grew up in a family of do-it-yourselfers, woodworkers. Mm-hmm. You know, my granddad was a master cabinet maker, and I learned a lot from him. My dad was a hobbyist woodworker. He was really, really into it deep. And we did everything. Like when I was growing, I grew up in Warren, you know, we did mm-hmm. everything. We never hired anybody. So I learned a lot. But in learning that, I also found respect for working with your hands. Mm-hmm. And I love making things. So when I got older, you know, I was always drawn to metal. Torches, welding. I loved it. I didn't know how to do it. Eventually, I just bought a MIG welder.
And went to town.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You know, that was the first thing I bought. I still own it today. A little Miller 135, you know, it's a mm-hmm. little, tiny little MIG. And, you know, went from there. And I took an apprenticeship under Ron Fournier. And he really taught me how to TIG weld. Mm-hmm. You know, his son Danny is an amazing TIG welder. He taught me a lot about TIG welding, gas welding, flame welding, aluminum, you know, all these black arts of lost welding,
yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I mean?
Definitely.
Which I took to, man. I just loved it, man. I ate it up, you know, and from there, you know, went on.
See, that's the thing that really, you know, sparks my interest is because, you know, like you were saying, the forgotten arts. Mm-hmm. For me, it seems to be the hardest thing to find is a good blacksmith to apprentice under. You know, you try to find, you know, some classes and it's very, very far and few between. And it's almost like that thing where you really want to learn it. You really have to search out and find someone that can sort of teach you this, you know, forgotten and lost art that seems to be fading away more and more every day, which really sucks because the things that you can do as a blacksmith and just make that metal do whatever it is that you want it to do is really, it's like magic, man. It's absolutely amazing, really.
It truly is. You know, there's a reason why blacksmiths is such an old trade. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a reason why it's so important in society, in our civilization, mm-hmm. you know, because of what a blacksmith can do. And it's unfortunate that so much knowledge gets lost because it's not passed on. It's yep. not held that way. And, you know, it's funny you bring that up because all these different topics are, you know, the inspiration and the spirit behind a craftsman's legacy. You know, it was really, as much as it's about celebrating craftsmanship and celebrating craftsmen, it's also about inspiring people, you know, maybe not to get up and start, you know, hammering out a sword, but maybe they'll be able to look at things a little differently and appreciate handmade objects a little differently than they did, you know, 30 minutes earlier.
Right. Well, I mean, if you can't, you know, strike an interest in metalwork and blacksmithing by looking at a railroad spike that was turned into a knife with a twisted handle, if that doesn't make you just be like, that is so badass. This is what I want to do. I want to learn how to do that. So that way on my lunch break, it's not so boring anymore. You know, I can do something sweet.
Yeah.
You know, that's what really, you know, I think brings out the metal fanboy in all of us. When you see that, you know, really, yeah. You're just like, that's it. That's the cool thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? So, getting into, I want to touch on Voodoo Choppers. When did you kind of, I hate to kind of just bring it back to the, you know, when did you start this? When did you start this? But,
no,
you know,
cool,
your story to me is so interesting. Like, you have so many different starting points in your story. With Voodoo Choppers, when did that come?
So, motorcycles, bikes, choppers, they were always like, you know, when I was a kid, I loved them. Mm-hmm. I just thought they were cool as hell, you know? And I got my first bike. I was older. I was like 19 or 20 when I got my first motorcycle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a little Yamaha, you know? And I took it and sort of brought it back to stock condition because it had a fairing on it. It had a bunch of stuff on it and shit on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of being able to build a motorcycle from scratch always really intrigued me, and I wanted to learn how to do that. So at a point in my life, I'd gotten sick, and somebody very close to me, a good friend of me, said, hey, you know, if you could do anything with your life, what would you do? And I said, I'd probably make things.
Mm-hmm.
He said, what would you make? I said, you know, I don't know. I would either make furniture or you know, build bikes, motorcycles. I'd love to learn how to make a motorcycle from scratch. He said, that's what you need to do. And don't worry about money. Don't worry about your knowledge. Figure it out.
Right.
And that's what I did. You know, so I started the chopper shop. And I went around and cold called motorcycle shops. You know, like I started working with Ron to learn how to metal shape.
Mm-hmm.
We had become friends. And I hung out over there all the time and bugged him. And we just became really close. And then one day he said, hey, I'm looking for a new apprentice. And, you know.
Went from there.
That's how it went down. You know. And then, you know, from there, that's when I started cold calling bike shops. And I literally just picked out the phone books and drove around from shop to shop and said, hey, you know, I can make a fender or a fuel tank or an oil tank or, you know, whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
And most people said, no, that's pretty cool, but I don't have any need for it. But one guy said, yeah, okay, cool. I'm working on a special project for myself.
Now, see, and that's what I think, you know, a lot of people don't really understand that's the thing you have to do is offer your service. You know, you people aren't just going to find you. You have to pound the pavement and you have to make yourself known that this is the kind of job that you do. This is the kind of work that you do. This is the kind of service that you offer. You know, you can't just put it all out there and expect people are just going to find you without any work in putting yourself out there.
No, there's pretty much work and everything involved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, whether totally. You're learning how to weld, mm-hmm. you're learning how to shape metal, you're learning how to, you know, dovetail a joint,
mm-hmm.
you know, you got to work at it, and selling those skills, selling your services is no different. You know, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I did know that I wasn't making any money, you know, and I needed to sort of find a way to make some money. Mm-hmm. So,
well, doing the chopper shop, what would you say to date would be, you know, one of your most memorable builds or your favorite build that you've done?
That's sort of a hard question, dude.
I figured.
You know, well, I'll tell you why. Because there's so many firsts, right? You know, there's like the first bike you build completely from scratch, just from complete raw materials, you know, 20-foot sticks of tubing and 4x8 sheets of metal. There's the first fuel tank you made, the first fender you made. You know what I mean? And all those have a different place in what's important to me. And over time, you know, your skills progress and you become better and you start paying a lot more attention to what is important to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it's the details. I spend way more time now working on anything I do because I love the details, you know? So everything I do, I slowed everything down, especially since I started the show. It forced me to because I wasn't in the shop as much.
Right.
We take in a lot less work now, but I love it because I don't care if I spend 2 weeks working on a set of forward controls because I know at the end of the day, it's exactly how I want them to be,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm able to do that. I love it. I get that out of it.
So are you turning away business at this point?
Oh, we have for the last couple of years. Yeah.
Yeah. And has that seemed like it's helped you or hurt you?
I don't know yet. Well, you know,
we'll figure it out.
History's or my future's going to tell that. You
right,
know what I mean?
Right.
Like, honestly, I don't know. I wonder about that all the time. But I do know that taking in work when I'm not in the shop
mm-hmm.
pisses people off
mm-hmm.
because they want their item, they want their product at a certain time frame. And we've always sort of been a slower shop because
right.
if it's not done the way I want it done, then I redo it.
Yeah.
Until it's done 100%.
Right.
And it doesn't matter to me. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I'd rather make sure it's done 100% than send it out at 80% because that's not what they paid for.
Plus, it's your name.
You know? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So you have to do things right. But probably about 3 years ago, we started shutting off work for the following year in November, December,
mm-hmm.
you know, of the previous year, because we were just, I could only do so much. And I'm just straightforward with people like, hey man, when do you need it? Yeah. There's no way in hell that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm happy to do it for you. I'd love to do the work. Thank you very much for thinking of me, but, I can't deliver in that time frame. You know, if you can adjust your time frame, then you know, we can continue talking, but if you have to have it at this time, then you're going to be better off, you know, finding another craftsman.
Right, right. Eric, it was an absolute pleasure to have you in here, man, talking about this stuff. Seriously, my inner fanboy just totally exploded.
thanks,
please promote your show. Tell people when season 4 is going to debut and when they can watch your show, what time, and where they can find you on social media.
For sure. So, you know, our show's on PBS across the country. So the air times and dates adjust depending on where you're located. Like in Detroit, mm-hmm. Season 4 launches on the 7th, which is Saturday,
mm-hmm.
11:30 in the morning.
Okay. So set your DVRs.
Yeah, man. You know, but social media is Craftsman's Legacy on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that jazz and voodoochoppers.com and, you know, my personal Instagram page. You can see pictures of fish I caught, stuff I'm working on in the shop.
Very cool, man. Awesome. Eric, thank you so very much, man. It was an absolute pleasure to talk to you, man.
Thank you for having me again.
All right,
man.
Absolutely. All right, that's it. Thank you so very much for listening. Huge thank you to our guests this week, Ron from Huntington Fusion and Eric Gorgeous, host of A Craftsman's Legacy on PBS. Here in Detroit, it's 11:30 a.m. on Saturdays that show airs. So check your DVR, check your local listings and see when it is. Check out the show. Again, message Eric and let him know what you thought of his interview, what you think of the show. So that way we can keep this kind of stuff alive and keep it going, keep it moving, and keep the forgotten trades from being forgotten. If you like what we're doing here, email the show, arcjunkies@gmail.com. We are available wherever podcasts are downloaded. You can check us out on Apple iTunes and subscribe. Plus, if you do subscribe on iTunes, leave a review. Your reviews help our ranking and help the podcast reach more people. I sound like a broken record saying it, but it's true. You make this podcast possible. Thank you very much for listening again. Until next week, stay safe and weld hard.